Good morning. I'd like to call this meeting to order for the March 9th Stanislaus County Supervisors. Would you please stand and join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
An opportunity for anybody from the audience that cares to make a public comment to the board on any item or issue not included on the agenda. There'll be opportunity to do that now. If you care to, please come forward. Seeing no one then, we will go to a consent calendar. And it's all the items on the agenda that have an asterisk beside them will be considered with one vote. Anybody care to pull anything from that consent agenda? If not, we'll entertain a motion.
A motion to approve.
Motion by Supervisor DeMartini, second by Supervisor Chiesa. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We have one item for consideration today, item B5. Consider a letter of support for the Central Valley Next Generation Broadband Infrastructure Plan. Mr. Gibson.
Good morning, Chairman Grover, Supervisors, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doering. I'm Paul Gibson. I'm the Chief Information Officer in the Chief Executive Office. I wanted to talk to you this morning about the Central Valley Next Generation Broadband Infrastructure Plan and ask for your support for this effort. You can see here a quote from the Governor of Georgia, Sonny Perdue, talking about the importance of broadband. He likens it to the importance of a reliable telephone service a century ago. Certainly, high-speed, low-cost broadband services can have a major impact on a community's ability to deliver services, to educate its citizens, and to attract employees. The plan would, under consideration here, would seek to take advantage of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act broadband grant funding. As you know, on February 13th of last year, Congress passed the Recovery Act. You see its three stated goals of job creation preservation, economic stimulus, and improved accountability of government spending. A component of the Recovery Act is broadband grant funding. On the order of $7.2 billion. $4.7 billion is administered through the Department of Commerce's National Telecommunications and Information Administration, the NTIA, and $2.5 billion is administered through the Department of Agriculture's Rural Utilities Service. This plan would seek to take advantage of the NTIA's Broadband Technology Opportunities Program, BTOP. A point of emphasis in BTOP is broadband infrastructure, the so-called middle mile that connects the local service delivery to high-speed services on the back end. This middle mile has become a choke point for the delivery of high-speed, low-cost internet services. Frequently, in a given area, you'll find that there is one incumbent provider, and so any internet service providers that would seek to roll out new services in a region must partner with a local incumbent, and there's very little opportunity for reducing costs or for controlling costs, given that there's effectively a monopoly. So that's why BTOP and other initiatives have sought to solve this middle mile problem by providing alternatives in the communities. The plan proposes a project that would cover the 18 counties that you see listed here, including Stanislaus County. It would cover over 39,000 square miles, or about 25% of the area of California. It could potentially serve about 4 million residents within California, about 11% of the state's population, and could reach nearly 2,000 communities within those 18 counties, including the communities of Stanislaus County. The sponsors of the plan include an organization known as CENIC, the Corporation for Education Network Initiatives in California. CENIC is a nonprofit that today administers a network known as CalRIN that runs over 2,900 miles within the state of California and connects universities, offices of education, and local school districts into a high-speed network. And we'll see a map a little later of what that existing network looks like. It's quite an expansive and pretty impressive feat. They are choosing to partner with an organization known as Central Valley Independent Network, CVIN. CVIN is made up of the 8 rural independent telecommunications providers that you see listed here. CVIN would be the entity that would provide services on top of the network that CNIC is proposing to build out. The plan's goals would be to install a new fiber optic network to connect some anchor tenants, which are listed here, 18 county offices of education, 9 community colleges, 3 universities, and 18 county libraries. An additional component of the plan would be to provide services to hospitals and public safety entities, including possibly offices of emergency services within those counties, to enhance their existing network capacity, provide failover redundancy, and also to work with local service providers to provide lower cost services directly to the public to provide an alternative middle mile solution. The goals would be to create jobs and stimulate economy of the counties while the work is progressing of building out this network, and we'll talk about that a little bit further on. Enhance the ability of those 18 counties to attract business into the region by providing excess capacity for network services that could be taken advantage of by businesses that today might not consider those localities viable. Here's a map of the existing CalRIN network that CNIC administers. You can see that it's a pretty extensive network running the length of California. They would, in this plan, build upon that existing network by providing more services into the Central Valley counties that are not currently covered, and also extending into more municipalities within the region that CalRIN today covers. An overview of the infrastructure that's being proposed. It includes 3 rings of fiber connecting those 18 counties. This kind of ringed fiber design is a pretty common scenario to improve redundancy and to mitigate against any failures at any given site. It would cover 600 miles of rural Central Valley area. It would connect 18 county offices of education, including the Stanislaus County Office of Education, 9 community colleges, the 3 California State Universities that you see listed here, which includes CSU Stanislaus, and 18 county libraries, which would include the Modesto main branch of the Stanislaus County Library. A component of this plan would also include, in addition to building out this fiber network, providing wireless services to connect some of the other entities that they hope to be able to serve so wirelessly. So while the plan is primarily structured around a fiber build-out, they envision a wireless mechanism primarily for extending that last mile from their points of presence in those locations I've already described to other places such as hospitals, offices, emergency services, government agencies, businesses, and residences as well. Some of the overall benefits of the plan would be to provide access to internet services at reasonable cost. Obviously, that's a huge piece of what the NTIA is looking for in terms of grant funding, to have network infrastructure in place to build, attract, and retain businesses, entrepreneurs, and residents, provide online access to services such as job search, e-government services, those types of things that are accessible through the internet, but not every resident has easy and high-speed access to, and some immediate economic stimulus in the areas as the networks are being built out. There certainly would be, at each of the locations that we've discussed, things such as trenching that would need to be done, pulling of fiber, provision, purchase of network equipment, configuration of equipment, probably leasing of some existing fiber owned by local incumbents. And so there would certainly be some impact on the local economies of each of these communities as the work was proceeding. There are no direct cost commitments for Stanislaus County in supporting this plan. County departments, businesses, and citizens would benefit from having low-cost options. I put a note here. This is something that I was particularly interested in when I was discussing this with the representatives from CNIC, this idea of inter-county arrangements. You know, this is something that I've been interested in trying to pursue for some time, but at least today it's cost prohibitive. That is the idea that we might be able to forge relationships with other counties with different risk profiles in Stanislaus County so that we might be able to co-locate some of our critical network infrastructure at their location and vice versa, so that if we had some sort of natural hazard that occurred here in Stanislaus County, we might still be able to access equipment located at a remote site via a high-speed network and vice versa. So if we considered a county such as, say, Nevada County that has a very different risk profile from Stanislaus County, it's unlikely that any natural event that would impact them would also impact Stanislaus County, so we might be able to provide failover for them and vice versa. So the recommended action here is we would ask that you authorize the chairman to sign a letter of support on behalf of the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors for the Central Valley Next Generation Broadband Infrastructure Plan as part of the application for American Recovery and Reinvestment Act broadband funding. And I'm certainly happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board? Any questions or statements from the audience? Seeing none, we'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion from Supervisor Monteith. Second from Supervisor Chiesa. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. We'll sign that right away. Let's move then to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the State Fish and Game Commission regarding the listing of the mountain yellow-leg frog as an endangered species.
Refer to the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received a letter from the California Department of Veterans Affairs regarding the level of funding received in Stanislaus County by the Department of Aging and Veterans Services for the period of July 1, 2008 through June 30, 2009.
Refer to the Department of Aging and Veterans Services.
This board has received a letter from the Keys Community Services District regarding the results of the ballot measure procedure for the Keys Lighting District assessment.
Refer this to the Auditor Controller.
This board has received a letter from the United States Department of Agriculture regarding the results of the desk review of audits for the federal assistance programs administered by Stanislaus County.
Please refer this to the Community Services Agency and the Auditor Controller.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of these claims and refer them to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports today? Seeing none. Mr. Robinson, do we have a Chief Executive Officer report?
Yes, we do this morning. A couple interesting updates legislatively. First, we do have two bills introduced that would have direct benefit on Stanislaus County. First is SB 1356, which is a denim bill. It is called the Homicide Trial Bill, and it would provide funding relief for counties required to process trials where a law enforcement officer has been slain. This has particular application in Stanislaus County as we are facing this issue right now. Second is AB 1770, the Galgiani bill, which would allow the county to charge up to a $2 fee to be used for administration of the Family Justice Center. Hearing date has been set for March 16th on AB 1770. A lot of interesting updates on the ongoing attempt by the legislature in extraordinary session to reduce the overall budget deficit, the most interesting being the veto of Governor Schwarzenegger of ABX82. ABX82 is a bill that was anticipated to save considerable amounts of money. It focused on state corrections, one of the elements being the moving of undocumented aliens who were nonviolent offenders out of the system and deporting back to country of origin. That bill has been vetoed by the governor. In his veto message, he indicated that he thought the legislature missed its mark in approving forward and enrolling the bill AB X82, and he felt that it missed its mark because it really focused on the 2010 Budget Act, which would have addressed 2010-11 spending plan. And in reading both the governor's message and the content of the bill, the summary of the bill itself, I would have to concur with the governor's assessment. It really, what it attempted to do, in my opinion, was to limit the discretion of the legislature in the 2010-11 fiscal year and had very little impact on the balance of 2009-10 when the state is trying to rein in their $20 billion deficit. So the Democrats have indicated a certain element of surprise at the veto in again reading the intent of the bill, which focused principally on the 2010 Budget Act. I would have to say that I'm not at all surprised. The transportation funding bill went to the governor yesterday, and as you know, this would transfer or exchange gas sales tax as a funding source for excise tax, eliminating the sales tax on gasoline and increasing the existing excise tax by an amount equal to 17.3 cents per gallon. This also is an interesting issue, as it has generated a great deal of attention in the trucking industry, and we understand among the rail industry as well, as they begin to look at what some of the implications will be on diesel fuel if this particular tax swap is approved. We don't know yet what the governor's ultimate position will be. We think there's a reasonable possibility that the governor will veto this transportation funding bill, but it is on his desk, and we'll know probably in the next week or so.
Okay. Thank you. That concludes our open session agenda for today. We have one closed session item. Mr. Doing?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have closed session this morning pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 Subdivision B, conference with legal counsel to discuss significant exposure to litigation involving one case. It is uncertain if we will report out of closed session or not.
This meeting stands adjourned.